Shall we turn now to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. Now, though the English word care is used twice in this scripture, the meaning of the word is entirely different in Greek. There are two different Greek words that are used, and they are entirely different Greek words. Casting all your care on Him. That Greek word is your worries, your anxieties. For He cares for you. That Greek word is He is concerned about you. He's interested in you. So, God wants us to cast all of our worries, all of our anxieties over onto Him. I think of what a tremendous destroyer worry is. It can totally debilitate a person. They can become so worried over the things around them that they can't really function in a normal way. Those worries can actually become an obsession that can keep a person from normal kind of life. And of course, a person can worry because he doesn't have enough money, or a person can worry because he has too much money and worried about what's going to happen to it, or someone's going to try and rip him off. And also, you know, you can worry on both ends of the spectrum. Now, the Lord told us not to take any anxious thought for tomorrow. Or in more literal, don't be worried about tomorrow. Don't just sit down there and be anxious and have all these anxieties and all about, well, what am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to eat? How am I going to pay my bills? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to go? And all of this. He said, after all of these things, the heathen are concerned. They're worried about these things, but not you. You're a child of God. You don't have to worry about these things. Your Father in heaven is going to take care of you. But I don't see how. Well, that's not your business. That's not your problem. That's His. You see, He has resources that you know absolutely nothing about. You may figure out a way by which God might help you, but He's got so many different ways that you haven't even thought of. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. He said, my ways are not your ways. My ways are beyond your finding out. So don't be worried about tomorrow. Don't take anxious thought for tomorrow. Again, the scripture tells us to be anxious for nothing. Now, I can only come to this position of totally free from anxiety as I come to the place of a total commitment of my life to the Lord, realizing that my life is in His hands, realizing that He orders all of the circumstances of my life. Realizing that He is on the throne, He's got control of the universe, He's got control of the nations, He's got control of me. And the one who is able to control the universe and supply for its needs is surely able to take care of me and supply for my needs. My Heavenly Father. Now Jesus said, look at the birds. They don't go out and plant crops, irrigate the fields, and then gather into barns their harvest. And your Father sees that they are fed. Notice that. He's not the bird's father. He's your father, but he feeds the birds. He sees they're fed. He doesn't let them go hungry. Now, if your father feeds the birds, surely he'll feed you. Consider the lily of the field, how it grows. It doesn't gather cotton and spin the cotton and make thread and make a garment and all. It doesn't go through all of the hassle that we have to go through to clothe our bodies. Yet Solomon, in all of his glory, wasn't dressed as beautifully as one of those lilies out there in the field. Now, if your father will so clothe the lily of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? So these things that so often create anxieties in our minds, these things that begin to absorb us and we begin to get worried and all fretting and concerned and just in turmoil. God doesn't want you to be in that kind of turmoil. You're his child and he loves you. And he hates to see you all upset like that. He hates to see you with that, you know, great burden that's just weighing you down. And so he says, hey, cast all of those on me. Cast all of your anxieties. Cast all of your cares. Cast all of your worries over onto me. Lord, you're going to have to worry about that one. I can't handle it. You know, that's a great thing to be able to do. It's just when it gets too heavy for you, just cast it over on him. Say, well, Lord, I can't handle that. Boy, I'll tell you, the further I go, I think the less abilities I have to handle things. And I find myself throwing more and more stuff over onto him. This has been a bad week for me. I told my wife, the Lord must know that I need patience or something. He's sure been putting me through some tribulations. I can't find a single tool that I need. Now, I know I have them. I bought them. But I wanted to do a little project for my daughter this week. She needed a little picket fence built. No problem, honey. I'll fix your picket fence for you. Build you one across the yard there. Well, I went out to the garage to get the tools that I would need to do the job. Sledgehammer, gone. Have to break the concrete open and so forth. My trowel, gone. And one thing after another, gone. Now, I know that if I call up my son down in Dana Point and say, hey, son, you see my sledgehammer? Yeah, Dad, it's in my garage here, you know. And call up my other daughter and say, have you seen my ladder? Oh, yeah, it's over here. We needed it, you know. Went to do just a simple thing of lighting the barbecue today. And the other day when I looked in the shed, we had a bag of charcoal. Now the bag is still there. It still looks full. They left it right in place. But the charcoal and the charcoal lighter is gone. Now, it would have been very easy for me to have bought a new bag of charcoal when I was at the store. But I looked in there this morning and saw the bag standing up there. And so just when you're getting, and you know, you got to get that thing lit in advance and all. And of course, I didn't have enough sense when I found the bag was empty to check and see if the lighter was there. You know, just not my week. Now, it's easy to just really get all in a stew over these kind of things. But he said, hey, cast your cares on me. All of these anxieties and frustrations and things, hey, just cast them over onto me. And I finally got to the place I said, Lord, you're going to have to handle this. I can't handle it. I want to call up my son and say, you know, get that up here right away, you know. And oh, if we would only learn to just cast these anxieties over onto the Lord. Now, he wants you to, because he loves you so much, he doesn't like to see you all upset. He doesn't like to see you in that turmoil. Because when you're in that turmoil and all, then you aren't really in the place of being able to really worship him and fellowship with him and all. You're too upset for that. And so he wants you to just take all of those, all that junk, and just dump it on him. Now, that's much more than most of your friends want you to do. In fact, I hate people that dump stuff on me. I've got enough problems of my own. But the Lord wants you to just unload, casting all your cares on him. All of your cares, anything that bothers you. Now, we so often say, well, you know, it's just so minor, I don't want to bother the Lord with it. Well, does it bother you? Oh, I can't stand it. Well, then toss it over on him. As long as it bothers you, it concerns him that it bothers you. So if it's enough to trouble you, then get rid of it, casting all your cares on him. He cares for you. Now, we say, well, God really doesn't care for me because I haven't really been faithful as I should in my devotions. I haven't really served the Lord as I ought to have served the Lord. And we can think of 1,000 reasons why God doesn't care for us. And because we can think of these reasons why God shouldn't care, and surely I can give him plenty of reasons not to care for me. And the enemy comes along and sort of capitalizes on my failures and upon my weaknesses and upon my sin. And he says, God really isn't interested in helping you. You have no right to go to God. You have no right to dump that stuff over on him. Because look what you have done. Look how you have failed. Look what you've, you know. You're the one that made the mess of the thing. Now you straighten it out. You have no right to just make a mess of your life and then turn it over to God and say, here, God, straighten out this mess for me. But that's exactly what God wants you to do. Just give him all of the loose, tangled, frayed ends of your life. Because he cares for you. And he'll patiently untangle it and start weaving a new pattern, new design, his glory into your life. Because he cares for you. He cares for you when you are weak. He cares for you when you have failed. He cares for you when you've been just totally blowing it. He cares for you when you've been good. God's love for you doesn't alter with your moods. Aren't you glad? Now, our love so often alters with moods. Sometimes my wife can find it extremely easy to love me. I'm such a loving guy. But other times she finds great difficulty loving me because I'm not such a lovable guy. See, your moods change. But God's love for me never changes. It doesn't alter with my moods. It's constant. God cares for me more than I can ever realize, more than I will ever know. God cares for me. And because God cares for me, He is concerned every time I get worried. He doesn't like to see me in that state. Every time I'm upset, He doesn't like to see me in that state. He says, hey, just toss it over on me. I'll handle it for you. Oh, that we would learn to just cast all our cares on Him because He cares for you. Now, Peter gets down to just practices of the Christian experience. First of all, he says, be sober. Third time he uses this word in his little epistle. To be sober-minded. To be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil. Now you see, you have one that's caring for you. One who is very concerned about you. But there's another one who is your adversary. And he wants to destroy you. And he will destroy you through anxieties, through worries, through fears. How many lives have been destroyed by these things? Satan just has a heyday with some people. And their lives are just... You know, you look around and we really have so much to be thankful for. I ought to be thankful I had enough money to go down and buy a new sledgehammer. Let Chuck Jr. have the old one. It's fine. I just wish he'd return my rubber mallet, though. I could use that. There's so much that we have, though, to give thanks for, to be in a good mood about, that we let little things get us down often. The Lord said, don't you realize it's the little foxes that spoil the vines? And sometimes it's the most piddling little thing that can irritate us and take away the great joy that we ought to have constantly because God loves me and God redeemed me through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I think of all that God has done for me, I ought to be constantly just rejoicing in Him and thanking Him for what He's done. But so many times I let just little things irritate, nag on my mind, and just they just keep, you know, nagging your mind. And they keep you from that joy and from that praising and from that just... opening yourself to God. Now the enemy uses these things. He's playing mind games with us. He keeps bringing these thoughts back and keeps shoving them in. Look what he did. Did you see what he did? You're going to let him get by with that? Well, if you're a man, you'd stand up for your rights, you know. Don't let him push you around. Get in there and tell him what's... You've got to be sober. You've got to be vigilant. Now, the reason why we're exhorted towards vigilance as far as the enemy is concerned is because he is so subtle in his attacks that quite often he has me on the ropes before I even realize who I'm battling. I have three R's in dealing with the devil. The first is to recognize. And this probably is the most difficult. Once I recognize the source of my problem, then I can deal with it. But until I recognize the source of the problem, I can't really deal with it adequately. And so many times I'm under a hassle by the enemy and I don't realize it because I am personalizing it in that particular person who's giving me trouble right now. And I think, well, he's my adversary. No, the devil is my adversary. He may be using someone to get me all upset. He may be using something that someone has said or some action that someone has done to get me all upset and I am looking at the situation rather than what's behind the situation. So you've got to be vigilant because Satan will sneak up on you. And he'll take you unaware. You'll not even realize, hey, this is a spiritual battle. This is something the enemy is doing. So I need to first of all recognize the source of the irritation, the problem. And then, secondly, I must rebuke the works of darkness. The Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And so I come against the work of Satan in the name of Jesus, and I ask the Lord to rebuke the work of Satan, to stop it, to bind it. But you see, I can't do that until I first recognize, hey, this is the enemy. This is an attack of the enemy against me. The reason why I'm so depressed and down is that Satan is attacking me. The reason why I'm discouraged and I have this feeling that it just can't be done, that's just something that Satan is planted there. Recognize it, then refuse it. And then, the third R, of course you can refuse, rebuke, resist. I mean, there's a combination in there. But basically, they're all doing the same thing. The third is to rejoice that through Jesus Christ we have glorious victory. And just begin to rejoice in the victory of the Lord over every force and power that would seek to come against you. Rejoicing that God has provided me such a glorious victory over every work of Satan. That I am more than conqueror through him that loves me. That greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That Christ, through the cross, spoiled all of these principalities and powers that were against us, that were contrary to us, having nailed them to his cross and there made an open display of his victory as he triumphed over them through the cross. Colossians chapter 2. And take that place of victory in Christ and just begin to rejoice that I have the power of the Spirit and the power of God. And if God be for me, who can be against me? And you know, it's in this third step that the changes begin to come in your own heart and life. As you begin to rejoice, the Spirit of God just really begins to work. And suddenly you begin to see things in a whole new perspective. In a whole new light. And what seemed to be so impossible doesn't look so difficult anymore as God begins to show you the way. But you see, we can allow our minds to become so befuddled and so filled with anxiety that you're not even thinking clearly anymore. You're just all in despair. There's no way out. This is it. We've had it. You know, and you're not even thinking clearly because you're too upset. Your emotions are churning too much. You only think that because you're only looking at it from your ground level. Peter said, your problem is you can't see that which is afar off. You can only see that which is close to you. You remember when Jacob's sons came back and said, hey, that guy down in Egypt's a real bear, man. He won't sell us any more grain. He's not going to even see us unless we bring our youngest brother. Well, you idiots, why'd you tell him you had a younger brother? Well, how do we know he was going to say, bring him down? He asked us straightly, he just plainly said, do you have another brother? And we couldn't lie to him. Well, he said, all things are working against me. Oh no, Jacob, you don't know the whole story. That guy down in Egypt is playing games with your sons. He's getting even with them. He's giving them a bad time because they gave him a bad time. That's your son Joseph that you thought was dead these many years. He's still alive. But Jacob couldn't see that. All he could see was the present dilemma. All things are against me. And so many times we look at just the present, that which is close. We say, all things are against me. Hey, no, you don't know the whole story. God is working. And all things are working together for good because you're his child. Because he loves you. So, you do have an adversary. And because of that adversary, he's going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Therefore, you've got to be sober. You've got to be vigilant. Otherwise, you're going to be in deep trouble. Now, concerning the enemy, whom resist steadfast in the faith. I think that oftentimes we capitulate too easily. We say, oh, here comes temptation. Yikes, I've had it, you know. And we really don't resist. In Hebrews it said, hey, don't cry on my shoulder. You haven't yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. Let me see your scars. In your fighting against sin. Let me see the blood. You haven't yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. Whom resist steadfastly. We've got to resist the works of darkness. We've got to resist that which the enemy would want to do to us. We don't have to take his stuff. We don't have to be constantly harassed by him. I can resist the devil according to the scripture and he will flee from me. And if I draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to me. But you've got to take that position of resisting steadfast. Don't give in. Don't give in to the depression. Don't give in to the sorrow. Don't give in to the anxiety. Don't give in to the worry. Resist it. Refuse it.